Book 4, Chapter 4, What Happened to the Hebrews During 38 Years in the Wilderness. However, this sedition was so far from ceasing upon this destruction, that it grew much stronger, and became more intolerable, and the occasion of it growing worse was of that nature as made it likely the calamity would never cease, but last for a long time. For the men, believing that nothing is done without the providence of God, would have it that these things came thus to pass, not without God's favour to Moses. They therefore laid the blame upon him, that God was so angry, and that this happened not so much because of the wickedness of those that were punished, as because Moses procured the punishment, and that these men had been destroyed without any sin of theirs, only because they were zealous about the divine worship. As also, that he who had been the cause of this diminution of the people, by destroying so many men, and those the most excellent of them all, besides his escaping any punishment himself, had now given the priesthood to his brother so firmly, that nobody could any longer dispute it with him. For no one else, to be sure, could now put in for it, since he must have seen those that first did so to have miserably perished. Nay, beside this, the kindred of those that were destroyed made great entreaties to the multitude to abate the arrogance of Moses, because it would be safest for them so to do. Now Moses, upon his hearing for a good while that the people were tumultuous, was afraid that they would attempt some other innovation, and that some great and sad calamity would be the consequence. He called the multitude to a congregation, and patiently heard what apology they had to make for themselves, without opposing them, and this, lest he should embitter the multitude. He only desired the heads of the tribes to bring their rods, with the names of their tribes inscribed upon them, and that he should receive the priesthood in whose rod God should give a sign. This was agreed to. So the rest brought their rods, as did Aaron also, who had written the tribe of Levi on his rod. These rods Moses laid up in the tabernacle of God. On the next day he brought out the rods, which were known from one another by those who brought them, they having distinctly noted them, as had the multitude also. And as to the rest, in the same form Moses had received them, in that they saw them still. But they also saw buds and branches grown out of Aaron's rod, with ripe fruits upon them. They were almonds, the rod having been cut out of that tree. The people were so amazed at this strange sight, that though Moses and Aaron were before under some degree of hatred, they now laid that hatred aside, and began to admire the judgment of God concerning them, so that hereafter they applauded what God had decreed, and permitted Aaron to enjoy the priesthood peaceably. And thus God ordained him priest three several times, and he retained that honour without further disturbance. And hereby this sedition of the Hebrews, which had been a great one, and had lasted a great while, was at last composed. And now Moses, because the tribe of Levi was made free from war and warlike expeditions, was set apart for the divine worship, lest they should want and seek after the necessaries of life, and so neglect the temple, commanded the Hebrews, according to the will of God, that when they should gain the possession of the land of Canaan, they should assign 48 good and fair cities to the Levites, and permit them to enjoy their suburbs, as far as the limit of 2,000 cubits would extend from the walls of the city. And beside this, he appointed that the people should pay the tithe of their annual fruits of the earth, both to the Levites and to the priests. And this is what that tribe receives of the multitude. But I think it necessary to set down what is paid by all, peculiarly to the priests. Accordingly, he commanded the Levites to yield up to the priests 13 of their 48 cities, and to set apart for them the tenth part of the tithes which every year they receive of the people, as also that it was but just to offer to God the first fruits of the entire product of the ground, and that they should offer the firstborn of those four-footed beasts that are appointed for sacrifices, if it be a male, to the priests to be slain, that they and their entire families may eat them in the holy city. but that the owners of those firstborn, which are not appointed for sacrifices in the laws of our country, should bring a shekel and a half in their stead, but for the firstborn of a man, 5 shekels, that they should also have the first fruits out of the shearing of the sheep, and that when any baked bread corn, and made loaves of it, they should give somewhat of what they had baked to them. Moreover, when any had made a sacred vow, I mean those that are called Nazarites, that suffer their hair to grow long, and use no wine when they consecrate their hair, and offer it for a sacrifice, they are to allot that hair for the priests to be thrown into the fire. Such also as dedicate themselves to God as a corban, which denotes what the Greeks call a gift, when they are desirous of being freed from that ministration, are to lay down money for the priests. 30 shekels if it be a woman, and 50 if it be a man. But if any be too poor to pay the appointed sum, it shall be lawful for the priests to determine that sum as they think fit. And if any slay beasts at home for a private festival, but not for a religious one, they are obliged to bring the maw and the cheek, or breast, and the right shoulder of the sacrifice to the priests. With these Moses contrived that the priests should be plentifully maintained, besides what they had out of those offerings for sins which the people gave them, as I have set down in the foregoing book. He also ordered that out of everything allotted for the priests, their servants, their sons, their daughters, and their wives should partake as well as themselves, excepting what came to them out of the sacrifices that were offered for sins, for of those none but the males of the family of the priests might eat, and this in the temple also, and that the same day they were offered. When Moses had made these constitutions after the sedition was over, he removed together with the whole army and came to the borders of Idumea. He then sent ambassadors to the king of the Idumeans, and desired him to give him a passage through his country, and agreed to send him what hostages he should desire to secure him from an injury. He desired him also that he would allow his army liberty to buy provisions, and, if he insisted upon it, he would pay down a price for the very water they should drink. But the king was not pleased with this embassage from Moses, nor did he allow a passage for the army, but brought his people armed to meet Moses, and to hinder them, in case they should endeavour to force their passage. Upon which Moses consulted with God by the oracle, who would not have him begin the war first, so he withdrew his forces, and travelled round about through the wilderness. Then it was that Miriam, the sister of Moses, came to her end, having completed her 40th year since she left Egypt, on the first day of the lunar month Xanthicus. They then made a public funeral for her, at a great expense. She was buried upon a certain mountain, which they call Sin, and when they had mourned her for 30 days, Moses purified the people after this manner. He brought a heifer that had never been used to the plough or to husbandry, that was complete in all its parts, and entirely of a red colour, at a little distance from the camp, into a place perfectly clean. This heifer was slain by the high priest, and her blood sprinkled with his finger 7 times before the tabernacle of God. After this, the entire heifer was burnt in that state, together with its skin and entrails, and they threw cedarwood, and hyssop, and scarlet wool into the midst of the fire. Then a clean man gathered all her ashes together, and laid them in a place perfectly clean. When, therefore, any persons were defiled by a dead body, they put a little of these ashes into spring water, with hyssop, and, dipping part of these ashes in it, they sprinkled them with it, both on the 3rd day and on the 7th. After that, they were clean. This he enjoined them to do, also when the tribes should come into their own land. Now, when this purification, which their leader made upon the morning for his sister, as it has been now described, was over, he caused the army to remove, and to march through the wilderness and through Arabia. And when he came to a place which the Arabians esteem their metropolis, which was formerly called Ark, but has now the name of Petra, at this place, which was encompassed with high mountains, Aaron went up one of them in the sight of the whole army, Moses having before told him that he was to die, for this place was over against them. He put off his pontifical garments, and delivered them to Eleazar his son, to whom the high priesthood belonged, because he was the elder brother, and died while the multitude looked upon him. He died in the same year wherein he lost his sister, having lived in all 123 years. He died on the first day of that lunar month, which is called by the Athenians Hecatombeon, by the Macedonians Lous, but by the Hebrews Abba.